think of the millions of people, billions of people who live on the earth now, billions who have ever lived, and the love of Jesus is enough for each and every one of them. Amen. The river never runs dry. What a powerful thought that is. I hope you know that Jesus this morning. I hope you can experience Him this morning. I hope that through the message you get closer to Him this morning. Because that's what our Christianity is all about. It's building a relationship with the river that never runs dry. In John chapter 15, I'm going to read a lengthier passage of Scripture than I usually read. It's 11 verses long. Usually I keep them short because I preach to teenagers. So one or two verses is about all the more I can get them to pay attention at one clip. But we're going to read 11 verses, the first 11 verses here of John chapter 15. And as pastor's practice is, he starts a message Sunday morning and gives you a thought, and then he finishes it Sunday night. That is my plan for the day. I'm going to follow his pattern of preaching. Although I don't think I preach anything like he does, I am going to try to follow his pattern. And I give you one point this morning, one strong spiritual truth to take home with you, to mull over, to think about, and hopefully entice you to come back tonight to hear the other truths that may go along with it. In John chapter 15, it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for giving us this love letter that is your word, Lord, that speaks to us, that in and of itself it is a river that never runs dry. Lord, it is the living word that constantly supplies our lives, helps us to get closer to you, helps us to navigate through life's storms. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that as I bring forth this message this morning, message that you have laid on my heart, pray, Lord, that it would be the words that these people need to hear. Lord, the words that I need to hear. Lord, I pray that they would not see me, my feeble humanity. Lord, but that you would hide me behind the cross so that they would see you high and lifted up. Lord, when all is said and done, we will give you the honor and glory for everything that is done here this morning. In your precious and holy name we do pray. Amen. When I read through this passage of Scripture, more and more lately, my mind has dwelled on our church. And I think of the idea of bearing fruit, and I think the first thing that comes to mind is an orchard or a beautiful garden when it comes to bearing fruit. And I am a very organized individual, although sometimes you can't tell that by looking at my office. I am a very organized individual. I am almost as OCD as pastor. I like things done decently and in order. I like things to have a particular way that they're done. And my wife and I used to do a garden years ago. She probably got tired of me having my hand in it, which is why we don't do it anymore, because all the rows had to be perfectly straight, and you know, the corn had to be here and peppers here, and everything was had to be perfectly laid out. But in my mind, when I think of this passage of Scripture and I read through this passage of Scripture, my mind just goes to just beautiful straight rows of plants bearing fruit or vegetables. And I was just thinking, and I remember the last time I had a garden. Actually, the reason we quit having a garden, the last time we had a garden down, I live in Latrobe. For those of you who don't know, I live up on top of the hill on Wood Street in Latrobe. The last year that we had a garden, we had a bear go through our corn and destroy all of our corn stalks. So living up where we live, yes, we had a bear. The neighbor took pictures of it walking down through their driveway. It destroyed my corn, and we just said, forget it, we're done, no more. It actually destroyed the whole garden, basically. But my picture in my mind, and I hope you can envision it in your mind, is just this beautiful portrait of a garden with all these perfectly nice, neat, straight rows, all the beautiful colors that you get inside of a garden. You get beautiful greens and red tomatoes. I hate tomatoes, but you get beautiful. My wife loves them, so we had to have tomatoes in our garden. You get beautiful tomatoes. You get great yellow corn, all these beautiful colors. And my mind goes to that picture and think how a gardener just sets everything up so perfectly to get that beautiful picture when everything starts growing before it's time for the harvest. And as I was going through that well-maintained and neat garden with all the pretty flowers and buds and the colorful fruit, so many different plants, I began thinking about our church and the people sitting here even this morning. There are so many different people, so many different backgrounds, so many different circumstances that bring you here this morning, that bring us together in this place. What a picture of God's grace, a picture of such a beautiful garden, a picture that's worth a thousand words. And you look at your life and you look at what has brought you here today and why did you sit here today? And it's different from every other story that's in here. And all of these stories are brought together in this one room to make this beautiful garden that we have here this morning. And you are part of that garden. God's grace is a picture of beauty. And we are a picture-perfect garden in God's eyes. But I do believe that when I look at this passage and I begin to compare it to our lives as individuals, to our church as a whole, I believe that we have a church that bears fruit. For those of you who are part of VBS, there is no doubt that having about 190 different children here over the course of those 5 days, there's some fruit that we bore as a church. Having 33 children make assurance of their salvation is bearing fruit as a church. Amen. There is no doubt that our church, as it grows in number, as it grows in offerings, there is signs that our church bears fruit. And we have a wonderful church. As a matter of fact, we have kind of a rather unique church when you think about it. I was just doing some research just slightly. Every day in America, 10 churches close their doors permanently, while under 7 on average are open. That means we are losing 3 churches a day in America on average. Actually, just over 3 churches a day on average. Churches in general are struggling with producing fruit, with producing fruit that remains. I believe that we're not perfect and we've not arrived. And we must not let the uniqueness of our church's growth and the uniqueness of its accomplishments taint the idea that there's more to be done. We can bear more fruit. Fruit that remains. I want to make sure that our church produces that fruit that remains, fruit that grows continually, so we don't end up like those 10 churches a day who are having to close their doors. And I believe that sitting in this room, God has put together such a beautiful garden, such a beautiful picture of His grace, that as we continue to grow as individuals, we will see our church continue to grow as such a beautiful orchard for Him, bringing forth much fruit. I was challenged by this thought as I was preparing this message over the course of the past few weeks. Fruit of the branch is evidence of life on the vine. My neighbor has a grape arbor, and she's got a vine that runs through it, and that vine looks dead 10 months out of the year. But for 2 months, it produces these tiny little green grapes that turn purple. And then they dump all over everywhere and make a huge mess. Anybody who has a grapevine knows the disaster if you don't pick them. But she's got this grape arbor, and it looks dead 8 months out of the year, 9 months out of the year. And I was thinking about that. If it were not to produce fruit, you would never know that that vine was alive. And it made me start thinking, we have become a people as a nation that have to rely on movies to tell us that God is still alive. We have lost bearing fruit that proves that the vine is still alive. We don't need a movie to prove that God's not dead. We need to produce fruit that shows that Christ is a living vine and that we are his branches. And looking at this passage, I want you to focus on your life today. And I want you to ask yourself the question, am I producing good fruit? When we look at this passage, the first thing that I want you to catch a hold of for today, the first point that I'm going to make that I want you to see is the source of the fruit. The source of the fruit. Jesus says, I am the true vine. He says down in verse 5, I am the vine. Jesus is the true vine. He must be the focal point of where our fruit is coming from. Because surely good fruit will come from the good shepherd, the true vine. I was thinking about this, the source of the fruit, Jesus being the true vine. And it made me think, number one, the source brings clean fruit. The source being Jesus Christ brings clean fruit. Any other source is going to bring forth rotten fruit. The Bible tells us that our righteousness, the best thing that we can accomplish as individuals, the best things we can do is as filthy rags. There is no fruit that we can attain, that we can make in and of ourselves. The fruit cannot come from the source of Pastor Lear. That's so weird to say still. The source cannot be me. My fruit cannot come from me because I can bring forth nothing but rotten fruit. The source, in order to have clean fruit, must be Jesus Christ. I was just thinking about it. Could you imagine if the source of all of our fruit here at Bible Baptist Church was like Joe Favada? Could you imagine what the fruit would be like at Bible Baptist Church? I love Joe. Joe's one of my best friends at church. I love Joe Favada. He's as sweet of a guy as you'd want to talk to. But he can't be the source of our fruit. Because it's going to be rotten fruit. Pastor's not here, but I know he would approve of me saying it. The source of your fruit cannot be Pastor Schwender. Cannot be Pastor Lear. As great of a pastor and leader as Pastor Schwender is, as great of a friend and a boss as he is, if the source of my fruit or your fruit is the pastor of the church, it is as rotten as a human being whose heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our fruit cannot be sourced out of ourselves or out of other individuals. Anything we do must come from the source that is Jesus Christ. Because that's what brings forth clean fruit. From Him, we get fruit that is good and valuable. Fruit that is worthy of His name. Fruit that accomplishes something for His glory. See, the source, when it is Jesus Christ, the source will bring clean fruit. I'll tell you the second thing that I came up with as I was looking through this passage and just thinking about it. The source brings common fruit. Common fruit. When you think about it, a vine, my neighbor's grape arbor is massive. It's probably 12 foot square. It is a big grape arbor. But interestingly enough, if you trace all of the branches back that fill that thing, it comes back to one vine in the ground. You see, when Jesus Christ is the source of what we're trying to do, when Jesus Christ is the source of what we're trying to accomplish as Christians, then there's unity involved. You see, we are a bunch of different people. Sitting in this congregation, there is a variety of personalities. Yes, a variety of personalities. Guess what? You're not going to agree with me on everything that I do or say. Our personalities might not mesh. Some of you might not like me. I can't see that being true, but you never know. Some of you might not actually like me because you don't like my personality. But you know what? That doesn't affect the fact that we can bring forth good fruit if we have a common vine. Amen. If we are all producing fruit for Jesus Christ, then we can get along no matter how different we are as individuals. One of the biggest things that I deal with from a pastoral side of things with young adults, older teenagers and young adults, is getting along with others. You know what? It doesn't matter whether or not you like them as an individual. Number one, you should love them as a child of the King. Jesus Christ loves them every bit as much as He loves you. But you should be able to get along with them if your purpose, if your goal is to produce fruit for the source that is Jesus Christ. If your goal to be here is to do it for Jesus Christ, then you can get along with anybody that's sitting in this room, no matter how different your personalities are. I see a source that brings clean fruit. By the way, when problems do arise between Christians, you can usually trace it back to one of the two don't have the right source for their fruit. There shouldn't be problems amongst Christians. And if there are, we should be able to take care of it with a common vine. But when there's problems that arise and stay between Christians, it's because somebody's got the wrong source. If there's aught between you and somebody else in this room, then the first thing you should check is your source. Why do I have problems with them? Am I trying to get something for me, or am I trying to help Jesus Christ somehow? Am I trying to accomplish for Him? Because when your goal is to accomplish for a common source, you can get along with anybody. They say, what's the phrase? Having a common enemy makes common friends. Having a common goal should create common friends. If your goal is to honor and glorify Jesus Christ in all that you do, if your goal is to bring forth good fruit that only comes from the source that is Jesus Christ, then you should be able to get along with everybody that's in this room. Because you've got a common fruit that comes from the source. Our source, when it's Jesus Christ, brings forth clean fruit. It brings forth common fruit. Thirdly, I see a source that brings forth constant fruit. He talks about constantly abiding in Him and He in us. He mentions it several times in there. Now understand, sometimes the fruit gets hard to see as a Christian. Sometimes it's just not harvest season. But the problem is, if we don't stay abiding in Christ, then we miss the harvest. And we miss the chance to bring forth fruit. I will be the first to admit that the Christian life can get hard. It can get tedious. It can get difficult. Listen, this whole Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, community care, it can get tedious. It's a busy thing. But man, how many times, Brother Duane, if you would have missed community care, you would have missed leading somebody to the Lord. You would have missed fruit that remains. Bearing fruit that remains. Because you were just a little extra time. You worked a long day. You were exhausted by the time you got here. But you wanted to honor and glorify God at the right source. And so you were able to bear fruit. Do you get to lead somebody to the Lord every day, Brother Duane? Not every day. So maybe it's not constant fruit as in daily. But if you're constantly in Him, you will have constant fruit at some point. I think of Brother Scott and his Sunday school class. How many boys have you led to the Lord just this year? Six? Four boys in the last 4 weeks in his Sunday school class. What if Brother Scott just decided a couple weeks ago that it was just too much, he needed to take his Sunday school off? That boy could have been lost and dying, going to hell, because Brother Scott missed. He missed bearing fruit. The source brings forth constant fruit, but we may miss the harvest if we're not constantly abiding in Him. When we work for Him and His honor and glory, we are content with whatever the results. And if nothing else, we can still bring forth the fruit of peace. I was thinking about it. There are dry spells in the Christian life where it feels like you're just working and working and doing and doing and there is no result. But if you can have the peace that passes all understanding through your life, that in and of itself is fruit that you're bearing. Good fruit that comes from the source that is Jesus Christ. See, the source brings forth clean fruit, something valuable, something not rotten. The source brings forth common fruit, where we can be unified and joined together as different as we might be. And looking at Richie, some of us are very different. The source brings forth constant fruit. There's always something that can be had. It's a river that never runs dry. Amen. But that river comes from the source that brings compassionate fruit. You look at this passage of Scripture, and some of my favorite verses are towards the end. It says, even verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you abide in me, you abide in my love. You know, as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. The central part of the fruit of the Spirit, talking about bearing fruit and comparing it to Galatians, the central part is love. Love is the center. As a matter of fact, I was trying to compare it to trees, and I was just thinking about it. Love is the sap. Sap in a tree is what carries the nutrients and the water to the branches and from the branches to the fruit. That's what sap does. That is love in the Christian life. It carries the good works from Christ to us as the branches, to the fruit that we're producing, whatever the fruit may be. Tree sap is what transports the nutrients. Love is the sap that transports Christ to the fruit that we're bearing. It must be done in love. The source brings compassionate fruit. It is a love for Christ and for others that determines whether or not our fruit will be a good fruit. You see, you can go back through and you can talk about the cleanliness of the fruit not being in and of itself, and the commonness of the fruit and us being unified and joined together in the constant fruit. But truly, it boils down to the compassionate fruit. And tonight, I'm going to expound on that a little bit, on the compassionate side of the fruit. But love must be the central component, because it is the central component of all the fruit of the Spirit. If you go to Galatians, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The reason it starts with love is because every single one of those fruits only comes as a result of love. And we'll talk a little bit more about that tonight. So let me ask you this. As I close this morning, and that's right, 11:30 on the nose, I am closing the message. As we close out this morning, let me ask you this. What kind of fruit are you bearing in your life right now? See, you can only bear good fruit if you have the right source. The source of your fruit must be Jesus Christ. Tonight, we're going to talk about the sorts of fruit that you can produce. And we're going to talk about the seriousness of the fruits that you produce. But this morning, I want you to ask yourself the question, what is the source of my fruit? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Is it really for Jesus Christ?